Know your own core values. Know your own non-negotiables. Who are you? What are you standing for? Then be sure that you are aligned with the core values, the mission and vision of the organization. Because that's the basic. Walk your talk. If you can't walk the talk of the organization, you can't be a good leader.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is Paul Terwal. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Paul and his thinking. One, he says core values are non-negotiable for Gen Y and Z, and the answer is to create alignment. Two, to increase retention by increasing engagement will create more profitability. I like that, profitability. And three, Paul was president of the Global Speakers Federation from 2019 to 2020, COVID time, remember that? And creating more belonging by using the internet. We all certainly been using the internet a lot more since 2020. Paul Terwal, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you, George. I'm happy to be here.
Delighted to be talking with you across the ocean today. And the topic is engagement, workplace engagement. And that's a topic that's been around for a while. What do you see changing in recent years in terms of the challenges of engagement, and what lessons have we learned?
Well, I think it's around for 20, 30 years and everybody knows it and everybody's talking about it. But something changed in the last 4 or 5 years, and especially during COVID, the demographic figures are changing rapidly. So elderly people are leaving the labor market and younger people are outnumbered coming into the market by the people leaving the labor market. So we have less employees. And on the other end, the number of jobs are still increasing. So we have increased jobs. We have increased number of people who get retired and get out of the labor market. And we have less people filling up the space. And suddenly, we notice that the advantages of having engaged employees are very important for profitability. So it's no longer, if you don't like it anymore, go away, we will find somebody else. Now the employer has to work on engagement to get the retention higher. So something has changed. A lot of young people during Corona thought, I'm in a job I don't like, I'm going to leave. So in the US, about 60% of the people are changing. Here in Europe, 35. We never had that before. It was always around 10% changing. And now it's 35 to 50% if you look at young people. So yeah, if you want to stay profitable, you need to be aware of engagement. Because if somebody leaves your organization and you need to find a new person and get in as productive as the old one, it will take you the same amount of money as a year's salary. So I lose a year's salary when somebody goes away and I need to find a new person. And I think that's the big change. In the early 2000s, if somebody left, you had 5 people waiting to pick that spot and they were engaged, they wanted to be there. Now you have 5 jobs, say you have 1 person who wants to do the job. So it's turning around.
which suggests if we apply the law of supply and demand, less employees, more jobs, more work needs to be done. Therefore, employees are more valuable now, or at least employers should see that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it changed, and the awareness changed when people were working from home, if they could work from home, and started working hybrid. Then those people thought, I don't need to be in that office. I can work anywhere in the world. So why would I stick to this employer if I can do the job as an independent worker and move around the world? I know people who are part of our speaker association. If I need to talk to them, I need to send them a WhatsApp. Where are you in the world? And suddenly they are in Venice, Dubai, Mexico, whatever. And with all the time zones, if I need to work with them and talk to them, I need to be aware where they are. Normally, they would work in UK, in the Netherlands, in the US, in Canada. And I knew exactly at the point, this is the time frame. It's completely changed. And you notice this as well. If you have a guest on the show, you need to, where are you when we are planning to have this meeting? So, yeah, the world has changed. In the Netherlands, we see that there was an increase by 20% of people who start as independent worker. Even nurses and teachers who said, I don't want to be an employee anymore. I want to be an independent worker, determine my own time frame where I work. And that's from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and not during weekends and not during night. And they suddenly could. 5 years ago, the employer would say, I fire you. Go away. I'll find somebody else. So you see, it's changing. And with that, the demands on looking after employees, looking after their well-being, looking after their engagement, is much more improved.
Is engagement more important to employees than the pay?
Especially for the younger ones. Yeah, yeah. We call it the purpose. Simon Sinek and Aristotle told us long time ago already that you need to find your why. And I think younger people are much more aware of the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Is that what really gives me fun? So, yeah, it's not that they don't like the money, but it was for a long time the absolute number one. Work hard, be successful, be rich. Now it is seek your purpose, work hard, and maybe you will be successful. So what we, the older employees and older people thought, after fighting wars, that we said, well, we need well-being, we need more money, we want to have more material. They have it all. They have a car. They have a house. They have a phone. So that longing for stuff is not in material, is not in money. It's more in, why am I doing this? What is my purpose in life? And I think that changed too because we became less religious, less connected to Protestant, Roman Catholic, Anglican, communist, socialist. We had those core values that were put upon us by others in church or whatever. That's gone, especially in Europe. It's gone. You need to find your own why. And I think that's one of the reasons that a lot of younger people have mental issues as well. They are looking for, why am I doing what I'm doing? What is my purpose in life? Why am I here? And normally, the priest or the vicar would tell you why you were here. I think over the years, over the years 80s till now, that changed. And that's what I see, and I'm becoming much more aware of it. that suddenly we want to know what our core values as non-negotiables are. And then it's our individual core values. And that is connected to your why.
And Paul, are you suggesting that the culture of the workplace is the new church?
Well, I think in a different way than we had. But if a younger person wants to work for your company, they will check what your core values are. They will go to your website, to your LinkedIn page, and look for your non-negotiables. Who are you? What is your non-negotiable? What is your mission, your vision? What strategy do you do? So they are much more looking for that purpose within the organization than knowing their own core values. They are looking for alignment, for connection, for belonging. Do I belong to this group of people? Am I included in the culture? Do I feel well if I work here and fits it with my core values? And I see young people say that they look at the website and say, I don't see core values on the website. And when they come into a meeting the first time, they ask the new employer, can you tell me what your core values are and what you can do for me? 10 years ago, I wouldn't dare asking that kind of questions. Now it's normal. I see my son doing it. He's doing the same job as I am. And he just asked those questions. And I think back of 40 years ago, when I was happy that I found a job and that I could start earning money, I didn't question anything. Well, they question now what your core values are. And are you sustainable? And are you looking after the planet? And so it's changing. And with that, with the younger generation, we see the older generation, Gen Y and even X, people like me, going into companies say, hey, what are your core values? I couldn't find them on the website. And they say, yeah, but we have it on the internet. And they will say, yeah, but I, as a customer, can't see what your non-negotiables are. So I want to know what their intended message is. What are you here for as an organization? And an organization is a group of people that work together on the same purpose. And it's not earning money anymore. For a long time it was, and it's still for shareholders, but for normal employees, it's why do I work here? What's in it for me? And that's the big change. And that's why engagement goes up in importance.
And how can engagement, workplace engagement, so let's say we've passed the test and the person's come to work for us. How do we engage them and how do we continue to engage them, you know, beyond the onboarding process? Okay, well, now you're an employee. Okay, talk to you next year.
Yeah, well, I think what you say, that's still quite normal. We have a meeting once a year and we evaluate how you were doing. Wrong. You keep on talking. So management, like ticking the boxes, then we get our KPIs, is now changing into leadership. And leadership is a person who is supporting the employees to be more productive, to be more engaged, to make less mistake, to be more effective, to have a better story to your clients. So you see the role of the manager who was standing above the employees changing into somebody who has a specific role next to the employees. And his role is to keep them motivated and engaged that they work hard, because that's the result. It shouldn't be your intention, but the result is if you stand next to them and you ask them, what do you need to perform even better? And people will say, well, I see that for me, I need this or that. And then it's up to the leader to support them in getting those things. So Yeah, you should have a conversations once every 2-3 months. So the span of control should be changed from a manager who can talk to you for 30 minutes once a year into having a chat with you every 3 or 4 months. And I always suggest go for a walk. Do you know why?
No, tell us why.
If I walk beside you, there is no eye confrontation and there is less pressure on the employee to tell the real story. So I started doing this about 15 years ago with people who were for a short period of time disabled, couldn't work, wanted to reintegrate in the work process. And then I started to have a walk with them next to a riverside. And I said, hey, what do you need to come back in the office? Don't say, medically, you can return because that's an obligation. But ask them, what do you need to return? And then people start thinking and getting ownership and say, well, if you ask it this way, and then they can stare in front of them and I'm not sitting there blocking their view. And managers sit across you at the table and they have those eyes that there is confrontation. If you walk beside one another, you can have an open conversation because the view is open. And I thought for a long time, this is nothing. This is fake. And now psychologists tell me that it works this way. There is an open view and that creates an open mind. I'm not blocked by my manager who is looking at his watch because there is 15 minutes gone already, but we have an open conversation. And the manager can do the same. I say, oh, this is what you ask. Can I think about it? Because if I give you this, then others would love to have that as well. And I need to see how we can work this out. And it's better than sitting opposite saying, no, that we can't. No, we can't give you that training. No, we can't because it costs money. And now we're thinking, what will be the return of investment? And I call it the ripple of impact. What will be the effect of if I give you something, what can I receive? And what we know, Gallup, well-known, is doing all the research, and they have 7 fields where you can see improvement when people are engaged and are more treated like human beings instead of human resources. I think that's changed over the last couple of years as well. And then sick leave goes down, productivity goes up with almost 20%, retention goes up, mistakes are much less. So a lot of positive start, more happy customers. And Richard Branson always says, I don't take care of my customers. I only take care of my employees because they will take care of the customers. And that's what I mean. A leader should take care of his employees, make them engage, make them feel happy, take care of their well-being, because then they can perform much better for the clients, and especially patients, children, schools, that kind of stuff. So yeah, things are changing.
So Paul, what I noticed there is you gave us some measurements one can have of engagement. So other than just being this nefarious, we need more engagement. Well, what does that look like? And how do we know if we have it? Well, we measure the results such as the sick leave, the mistakes, workplace mistakes, the retention. So there are KPIs we can assign to those.
Yeah, I noticed I wrote a book and it's still in Dutch, but I discovered 16 fields on which you can see improvement. 16. So for Excel managers, that would be amazing because they can make a spreadsheet with 16 items and then say, how are we improving all these fields? Gallup narrows it down to 7. And if you go to the website of Gallup and you type in employee engagement, you will get it. It's for free on the website. And otherwise, go to my website or LinkedIn page and you will find them. And that's why I call it the ripple of impact ROI, because it's not only that I feel more happy and my well-being goes up, but I have an effect on my team as well. I have an effect on my family, because I'm happy at the workplace, then I'm happy at home. So for a lot of people, they create more energy at work. They will get more energy at work. And with that, engagement goes up. So what we say is you need to look at the job demand resources model. If you work, you need to find energy in it. And if you get more energy out of your work than what you give in it, your engagement goes up. If you have a nice private life, then you have more energy. On the other hand, if it drains the energy out of me, I get a burnout. I'm burned out. My battery is low. So I need to regain energy. And you can look at jobs, and that's what we do. What are the energy givers and what are the energy takers? And any leader can do that in their team. And if their intended message is, I'm here to support you, we are going to look at what is giving you energy and what is draining the energy. And when it's draining, I'm going to take care of it because that's my role as leader. I'm there to support you, not to tell you what to do. That's old-fashioned kind of stuff. You look at what is giving energy and what is taking energy. And you work on the energy takers and you remove them, repair them, change them. And then you will see that people will be more engaged. So it's not that difficult. And a lot of people are scared of talking about happiness and engagement, but it's about energy resources. That's it.
And Paul, I find that fascinating because time, of course, is limited. We can only spend so much time at work or even living, but yet energy is unlimited.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we think about we need to manage our time better, but what if we managed our energy, our personal energy more?
That's the whole truth. When we see, if we can tell people, oh, you have obese, you need to take care of your lifestyle, they won't change anything. If we work with them on energy sources, and we say, hey, what is giving you energy? And always start with the positive side. What is giving you energy? And people, if they believe you that you're really interested, then they will start telling and they will become aware that a lot of their energy is lost because when they come at home, they drop on the couch, take a beer, take a big bag of chips and are just sitting and not moving. And then you can say, well, we can have a walk as well. And then 30 minutes walk will increase their energy. So what you do is by mentioning their energy givers and making it more positive, you try to influence and develop their habits. I always say, don't change people. Develop them. Make them aware. This was nice. This was okay. I'm not going to change you. I'm going to help you into the next space. And that's not soft, because if you look at the outcome of Gallup, the financial results will be amazing. So for CFOs, they need to be aware that this is the way to increase productivity. That is not, let's make more hours. Because in the UK recently, Cambridge University did research with 61 companies reducing the 5 days work week into 4, same amount of money, and productivity went up within the 4 days. And it was in all sectors, everywhere. And suddenly there was more production in less hours. So it's not about the hours, it's about the energy. And we all know if you have an electric car, if you don't charge it in time, well, it will be a long trip. So we need to recharge our own battery. So we need to look at the energy resources.
And so, Paul, does that mean that you pointed out that managers need to act like leaders who support employees. And so it sounds like leaders need to become better understanding of managing energy.
Well, the point is they need to start listening. Most of the time, if you have a team meeting, they ask you if you have an item for the meeting. When we hear it, then you start, and your item is item number 20. So by the time we reach number 20, we have 5 minutes left. Maybe we should start with number one, employee items. And then the last 10 minutes, we tell what CEO, CFO, CHRO, Chief Happiness Officer changed. And say, well, you can read it as well. It's on paper. But I wanted to tell you that you take, first we listen. And that's a big change. That's a big change. Or for managers, they were used to having a list of items that they need to check, done, agenda done. What's next? And then time was over and we had to move on. Most of the time, the manager had another meeting with his peers and they were talkers as well. So yeah, I think we need to start listening, because when I listen, I can hear what you're saying. I can hear where your energy givers are. And I can say, hey, George, I noticed something which is hurting you. Can we have a talk about it? Because I listened to you. I didn't talk to you. So they will have a different role. So it's no longer the best employee who becomes the next manager. It's the best listener that becomes the manager, the leader. And we need to train leaders to start listening, because every human being is capable of doing it, because we all have families and we need to listen to our children and to our partners. So we can, but in the working situation, we lost that feeling and we thought that we need to know best, because I'm the manager, so I know best. No, you don't. No, you're a specialist in listening. And the employees are the professionals. They are the best. And you are there to support them to become even better, because then you reach the KPIs. So it's not soft. This is really hard work. You need to listen and support your employees that they perform in a better way as better human beings.
Beyond listening, how else can they support the employees?
Well, what we see at this moment, and it's an item that is well used now in Europe, and I think Canada as well, there is a lot of financial stress for human beings. Even people with high income are paying so much on energy, and that's different energy than your own energy. The bills are so high that they get in trouble. Well, in the Netherlands and in the UK, we have budget coaches, financial advisors, to whom you can talk and say, hey, if this goes on, in 2 months' time, I'm out of money. In the Netherlands, we have an amazing social security system, so you can call in sick and you will still get your income for 2 years. So that's amazing. On the other end, we're not solving the problem and that person isn't ill. He has financial issues causing him to lose his energy and get mental problems. But the source of that mental problem is finances. Well, supporter. Send a budget coach, will cost you $600, something like that. Always cheaper than staying away from at home. So we are looking after people who are in a nursing role for their elders, or whatever, who have mental issues, who have financial issues, who have issues at home. And we support them with coaches that can help them. Not because we are philanthropists, but we can calculate. We know that staying at home, pretending to be ill, will cost more than giving them advice. We're not paying them to solve their financial problems. We are consulting them, listening again, but in a different field. I think that would be amazing if we can organize it. And in the UK, you have well-being program, employee benefits program. It's all in there. We are copying it now in continental Europe. The Dutch are the first. Germany is looking how we're doing this because they're more formal and saying, yeah, well, it costs money and it's your private life. No, work and private life are included now. Because we can work from home, there is no separation anymore. A lot of people work at home for 2 days. If they have trouble at home, well, support them. Don't take the problems away. Support them to get rid of those problems. Will cost you money, but you will have much more engaged employees and they perform better. So make the calculation.
Mm. Paul, I wanted to clarify. You mentioned providing something of value. You said about $600. What was that?
Well, if you see, if you have a coach who is doing four talks with you, will cost $600.
Got it.
If you look what an employee costs when they're not working, it's about $350 a day. So if they are at home and maybe you can fire them, but then still you lose that employee that you still need, in the Netherlands, they can call in sick. And then we pay €400 a day because we need to replace them. We need to support them. We pay their income. So after 4 days, it's €1,600. I can tell you that a coach is cheaper and that coach will tell them, okay, I will support you, but you go back to work because you need your energy, you need to work good. So you see a different approach of well-being, and well-being is connected to engagement and engagement is connected to profitability. And that's why I love the title of your show, because this is the intended message. Take care of human beings. They will take care of you.
Mm-hmm. Paul, if people like to find out more about your services, and in particular, that survey that's on your website, we have that link in the description below to find out more about Paul. Take that. It's a free survey, engagement survey, to see how your team, how you're doing. Check the temperature.
And be honest when you're giving it a number, because I see a lot of people saying, oh, a 9 or a 10. And then I think, I don't believe you. And we're not looking into it. So it's your private report. I can't see it. If you have questions, I will answer them. But it's for you. It's your engagement benchmark survey.
Before we wrap up, if you could sit down with a new team leader, who wants to make a difference, if you could give them one, two, or three pieces of advice on how they can engage their team early and keep them engaged, what might be that one, two, or three pieces of advice?
My first advice would be, know your own core values, know your own non-negotiables. Who are you? What are you standing for? Then be sure that you are aligned with the core values, the mission and vision of the organization, because that's the base. Walk your talk. If you can't walk the talk of the organization, you can't be a good leader. That's number one. Then start talking with your employees and see what is giving them energy. And move all the energy givers, because that's the positive news. And then start listening. That's the third advice. And it's so funny to say as a speaker, start listening. It's always difficult. But that's what I learned from people that we train, instruct.
Powerful advice. My guest today is Paul Terwal, reminding you that engagement will increase profitability.
If you like what you heard, tell your friends and post your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps more listeners find us. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.